course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining today and tuning in. Thank you for your response to our broadcast each and every day as we face the issues. We're talking today about an issue that I believe is timely and pertinent for the moment in which we are living in. I'm talking about today a peaceful transition of power. Question mark. Are we witnessing a peaceful transition of power? Perhaps you listened to or watched the final swan song from Joe Biden in the Oval Office, where he gave a lot of accolades to himself, patted himself on the back, almost broke both elbows by putting his hands on his back and patting both with both hands at the same time, patting himself on the back. Biden claims the responsibility for the peace negotiations in Israel, and the claims that he brokered the deal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, top of the hour news this in, you heard the statement that Netanyahu is putting that on a hold. Now, I could go into great detail. Suffice it to say, I think he's wise putting it on hold. I touched on that a little earlier before the news break. I believe that he's wise to do that, waiting until after Inauguration Day, that he would have a little more strength with President Trump in office to make some changes and to do some things. I think, secondly, when we talk about releasing of the hostages, the world's looking for, they're supposed to be, what, about 100 hostages left? I don't believe they have a handful. I don't believe they have a dozen, because in my most humble opinion, overwhelming majority of the hostages did not survive the brutality, the lack of medicine, the lack of care, the lack of food, et cetera, et cetera. Most of the hostages, unfortunately, I believe, are deceased. I don't believe they're there to be released. This is the reason the Hamas leadership, over the past year or so, they've been reluctant. They'd get up right to the wire wanting to say they're going to release hostages, then have a change of mind. It's because they do not have hostages to release. They've been playing on, as our previous caller said, playing on Joe Biden and the administration weakness rather than making a decision based on strength. So I believe that we're going to see some unusual things take place in the next number of days. But the primary thing, as Trump goes into office, I believe all ALL, let me spell that for us, ALL, all funding for Hamas, for the Palestinian organization, will be cut off severely, completely, if not greatly reduced, cut off completely. And as a result of that, that's going to get the attention of the snake, so that the head of the snake can be cut off, and there might be the potentiality for peace in the Middle East. But let me also, with a parenthetical footnote to that, Benjamin Netanyahu said the other day that they were willing to do whatever they could do to bring about peace. They were looking forward to peace in the region, peace in Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, there will come a day when someone will step on the scene that's able to, as it would be viewed, wave the magic wand, bring about a peace agreement, which according to Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 and following, will be a 7-year peace agreement. But at the middle point of that 7-year peace agreement, they will break the peace agreement through the hands of the Antichrist and will attempt to eviscerate, annihilate, totally destroy the Jewish people off the face of the earth. I believe that's where we're headed. I believe, yes, there will be an eventual peace agreement signed, but I believe it will be stepping into the future of the world with what God's words already said will take place according to his prophetic text, especially the one in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 and following. Ladies and gentlemen, going back to the thought, a peaceful transition of power. Question mark. Do you think we're witnessing a peaceful transition of power? What are your thoughts about Biden's final statements, Biden's words from the Oval Office? Biden claims to have created 17 million new jobs. Biden claims to stand up for the rights and freedoms of all Americans. Biden claims to have launched a new era of economic growth in America. And then he goes on to say, all of it we can't see. People can't see it every day. But eventually it'll play out of what he's done as the leader of a free nation to bring about a total economic growth factor. That's a lie. That's a figment of his imagination. Whoever wrote the message or the speech for him were very creative. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden claims that he had, under his administration, brought about the lowest level of crime in America for 50 years. Let me state that again. Joe Biden claims in his final speech that his administration brought about a 50-year low in crime. Is he blind, dumb, stupid, crazy, or all of the above? Crime is not at the lowest level in 50 years. Crime has exponentially increased across America. It depends on how you calculate crime. What connotes crime? What makes crime go down as being a crime? Biden claims, ladies and gentlemen, that the most dangerous thing was the concentration of power with the incoming president. In fact, it is Joe Biden that claims that January the 6th was the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. I'm looking at the headlines. Biden claims January the 6th was the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. Now listen, this is in the midst of a speech that's supposed to be bringing about a peaceful transition of power in America. And he points his bony finger at the camera and he talks about the January the 6th insurrection, as he calls it. Joe Biden has released a farewell letter given that his term in the White House expires on Monday, and he had also had tax-paid staffers compile a 26,000 words talking point about which he brags on. 26,000 words in his speech. He also takes a swipe at President Donald Trump, claiming protests turned out to be the riot of Capitol in the Capitol of January 6, 2021, was the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. He claims Americans are now stronger and more prosperous and more secure than it's ever been. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I could take those three points there, subpoints in that statement, and eviscerate them in about 5 minutes in relationship to what's truth. His letter includes Biden's claims, quote, I've given my heart and soul to our nation, and I have been blessed a million times in return with the love and support of the American people. A congressional report also confirmed that Biden's family has profited tens of millions of dollars in what essentially was described as an influence peddling operation that apparently has been in existence during his years as vice president and all of his presidency. Biden said wages are up. Inflation is down. The radical wealth gap is the lowest it's been in 20 years. We're rebuilding our entire nation, urban, suburban, rural, and tribal communities. Manufacturing is coming back to America. We are leading the world again in science and innovation, including the semiconductor industry, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, all of that's the fabrication of his mind. All of that is written on paper by those writing his speeches. It has nothing to do with the reality of what the Biden administration has done. And in the midst of all of that, ladies and gentlemen, claiming that through the Trump administration that he would be setting up an oligarchy that would be controlled by only a handful of wealthy people in America. And you call it a peaceful transition. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got document after document that shows that under the President Biden administration, he is setting up a house of cards that is hopeful, they're hopeful, that will collapse under the President Trump's administration and make President Trump the fall guy for all that the Biden administration is now setting the trap to do. All of the administration, every one of the federal departments in D.C. are now planning on how they can Trump-proof their department and prevent Donald Trump from moving forward with his plans for America. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
I mean, I see it two ways. I see it sad, you know what I mean, for how evil and wicked the Democrats really are, because they are showing the true colors. I mean, they are selling the parts that cost millions to the American taxpayer to finish building the border. They selling it for pennies, and 10 guy gets a judge interfered and say, you cannot sell this, which is awesome. But on the other hand, I see how evil these people is. I hear that they are releasing illegal criminals from many of the jails before January the 20th. We're talking about criminals with a history. I mean, what's the only thing is just to release it into the public, because they don't want to let Trump do what he promised. So my point is, these people is really evil and wicked. Forget about political parties. The safety of the American people. We're talking about criminals letting it go, that they are supposed to be deported a long time ago. But on the other hand, the positive that I see is the Democrats had dig a hole so deep, and they only talk about Trump. They had no message. What's the message? Now you got these clowns in California blaming Trump for the fires. I was laughing. Yes. I was like, are you kidding me? Is this a joke or something? Blaming Trump. And I was like, you cannot be that dumb. I mean, I'm sorry. He's not the governor. He's not the mayor. But yeah, they find a way to blame Trump. And the sad thing is, there's people believe in it. And I'm like, oh my God, you cannot be that dumb. But the good thing that I see, brother, is that they have gone so far left, and the only topic is Trump. I don't know how they're going to come back and trying to fool the people like me and you that we know what's going on, and then we see, you know, for what it is. But that's what I like the most. They have no message. They don't know how to better the economy. They don't know how to better their border. They don't know how to stop, you know, the prices going up. But Trump has a message, and I think that's what they hate the most. Every question that they ask in the media, in those podcasts, the liberals, within a minute, Trump. And I'm like, good, stay there while the American people reject you at every election. And that's my comment. I don't know how you see that, brother. Thank you very much.
Jose, let me respond to you. You don't need to hang on, but let me respond to that statement. You touched on what's happening in California. You just wait. When Trump gets in the position where he can make this firm decision, California's going to wake up, sit up, smell the coffee, and take notes, because they're going to be asking for hundreds of billions of dollars from the federal aid, federal government, and President Donald Trump's already made the statement through some of his acolytes that somehow, some way, the state of California's going to have to change their budget, change their plans, change their focus, and pay attention if they get any federal aid. And so that's the reason they're trying to set the trap, saying that Trump caused the fires, it's Trump's problem, what Trump didn't do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what they're doing. They're trying to, if you please, put the cheese on the mousetrap to try to trap Trump, but Trump won't be trapped with that. And I believe it's going to redound to the good, the betterment for the future of the state of California with Donald Trump being in office. I look forward to that, but thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about a peaceful transition of power. We're talking about the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump. We're talking about the difference in Joe Biden administration and the Trump administration. We're talking about what the Biden administration is doing, making the accusation that the Trump administration would be an oligarchy that would be controlled by just a handful of very wealthy people and will not allow the middle class to have a shot at it, as Biden calls it. But I've got news. Headline says, Americans, even many Democrats, are glad to see Biden go. It goes on to say most people won't think twice when Joe Biden takes his final Air Force One trip to Delaware on Monday. And it goes, the entrance to the article says, the late Jimmy Carter entered the White House with an approval rating of America of some 75%. When he left, it was 34%. But after his funeral, the numbers jumped to 59%. But that was after he spent 45 years of his lifetime doing charitable and diplomatic work. Joe Biden, at the age of 82, when he leaves next week, will leave with his approval rating only 37%. That includes 30% of the members of his own party who either do not approve of or have no opinion on him or would like to see him go. Most people won't think twice when President Joe Biden takes his final Air Force One trip. Goes on to talk about the polls and what the polls show. 46% of Americans say that he was the worst president ever. Ladies and gentlemen, love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What say you? Joe Biden bragged about the fact that he had signed the climate change agreement that will save the world. Ladies and gentlemen, the climate change is a lie. Global warming is a lie. May I say to you, it is a farce, a figment of the imagination designed to ultimately make the transition of power to the World Health Organization of the United Nations rather than the United States of America. It is well underway for the transition of the surrender of sovereignty of America to the United Nations, and Joe Biden is part and parcel of that. But may I say, ladies and gentlemen, as we see what is taking place, the whole Biden speech was filled with myths, fictional delusion, and out-and-out lies. He set the subtle example of calling on all federal agencies to resist President Trump's future leadership. Looking at a headline, Republican senators respond to the poll showing that nearly half of D.C. federal bureaucrats aim to oppose President Trump. Listen, this deserves our prayer. This deserves our consideration. This deserves every Christian, conservative, and patriot imploring God, asking God to intervene and protect Trump and give him wisdom and strength and most of all protection. Listen to this article. Republican senators highlighted a growing deep state of opposition to President-elect Donald J. Trump, citing a revealing new poll on the federal bureaucracy and urging Trump to be vigilant as he enters the office next week. That's talking about a couple of days from now. The poll, which was from the firm RMG Research released Monday, revealed that 42% of what the survey called federal governmental managers, keep that in mind, federal governmental managers, 42%, federal employees who live in the nation's capital region around Washington and earn at least $75,000 annually, listen, plan to politically oppose the incoming administration. Nearly two-thirds, 64% of the federal government managers who voted for Vice President Kamala Harris in November said they would ignore any lawful order from Trump if they considered it bad policy. Ladies and gentlemen, since when did the embedded bureaucrats make the decision what's bad policy and did they have the authority to override the president's direction and or the legal orders or the laws governing America? That is a trap that Trump is walking into. This article reads, the bureaucracy is the real threat to democracy, according to Joni Ernst, Republican of Iowa. Conservatives often warn the insulating of federal bureaucracies from Congress that the president weakened the voters' ability to have to say in the government. The bureaucrats' class have forgotten that their job is to serve the American people, and I am happy to help them remind them, Joni Ernst says. I am rooting out the rot in Washington, D.C. Federal employees are paid by taxpayers to work for the taxpayers. They can either do their job or find another job, Joni Ernst says. Entrenched bureaucrats are already subverting President Trump's agenda and working to box in the incoming administration and Republican Congress, including and especially on foreign policy. Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, told the Daily Signal, President Trump and administration officials are going to have to focus immediately on ensuring such bureaucrats are fired immediately, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize under the Biden administration in the past 90 days, he's been trying to secure the protection of the embedded bureaucratic workers so that they couldn't be fired? Now, I don't know exactly what he's done, don't know exactly the policy, the procedure, and the protocol that he's used to try to do that, but I can tell you Trump needs to go in and clean house. When President Trump went into office in January 2017, he had, I believe it was about 4,200 in the State Department when 99% of them had voted for Hillary Clinton, and yet he was somehow, anemic in his thinking enough that he did not realize what they would do and blocking his every move. He is awakened now. We have a president that's been elected by the majority of the Electoral College vote, a president that's been elected by the majority of the populist vote, a president that is a little more knowledgeable today than he was January 2017. So as he is being inaugurated, as he's being sworn in, it is my prayer, it is our prayer that today we'll keep praying for Donald J. Trump, that God will give him wisdom, insight, protection as he leads the nation into the next 4 years. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't expect it to be an easy task. I don't expect it to be without a constant suit. I expect every move that Donald J. Trump makes, there'll be an attempt through the legal process to get some Obama-appointed judge or some Biden-appointed judge to block his move so it will delay and hold it up and hopefully prevent Trump from carrying out his plans. I'm looking at the headline, how Biden tried to Trump-proof government with federal telework. Listen to this. As taxpayers have spent millions to pay for the most mostly vacant federal building space, President Joe Biden's administration worked with the Federal Employees Union to lock in telework levels to help Trump-proof agencies, according to the congressional investigation. The House Oversight and Accountability Committee released a report this morning ahead of the hearing titled "To the Stay-at-Home Federal Workforce, Another Biden-Harris Legacy." Biden-Harris administration officially worked with federal labor unions and allies not only to lock in the high-level telework levels, but to undermine the ability of the incoming president administration to unlock them and to manage its own workforce, according to the report. It goes on to say, the committee found that 438 federal agencies and sub-agencies, only the Veterans Administration monitored the effect of telework on performance of employees. Ladies and gentlemen, the very short of this five-page article is that Joe Biden has tried to Trump-proof everything in the federal government and all the bureaucracies and the agencies that he has had his thumb on over the past 4 years. It is simply a fact, ladies and gentlemen, as we witness President Trump's going into office. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, it appears that the Marxist media, the Socialist Communist Democratic Party, have grave concerns and great fear that President Trump's administration will do as President Trump has signaled that his cabinet nominees will do. And that is, number one, they're going to drain the swamp, clean the sewer, and D.C. That's the plan. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we see the start of it. Here's a headline. Democrats melt down over a bill banning males from female sports. Bigoted folks love this bill, is the headline. The Protection of Women's and Girls Sports and Act of 2025 passed at the House vote Wednesday, sending Democrat lawmakers into a frenzy over the potential law. Representative Greg Stube, Republican of Florida, and his bill passed through the House by a vote of 218-206 with the intention of keeping males athletes from participating in female sports in the schools. Democrats took grave issue with the bill, saying it's not only unfair to transgender girls, but it would also result in genital examination of young girls. They figment of the imagination. AOC said the bill would result in genital examinations of little girls in the so-called name of attacking trans girls. Ladies and gentlemen, their hair's on fire. An example of what the Trump administration shall do under the leadership, if we continue to pray for him, is seen in this bill that was just passed by the Republican-led House. That is a bill that will prevent males from going into female restrooms or being involved in female sports. And the bill goes on to say, from kindergarten through university level college sports. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, it is evident that President Trump will, if you please, shut down U.S. Department of Education, cause the cease and desist, the DEI and social engineering in our school system. President Trump will build the wall, as he said he would, the southern border wall. He will deport all illegal invaders and make America safer once again. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what they're afraid of. And as a response, by the way, in a response to this bill in relationship to male and females and keeping the males out of the female sports and the bathrooms, etc., headline says, House Speaker Mike Johnson fires back. Perfect response when reporters dispute Christian view of Genesis, male and female, he made. House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican Louisiana, is defending the truth of the gender binary in which God created humans. On Tuesday, the House passed the Protection of Women and Girls Sports, an act which prohibits biological males from playing on the same sports team as women from elementary through college. The bill became necessary because of a growing number of biological males claim to be transgender athletes and demand that their gender identity not stop them from competing against biological females. Mike Johnson, Christian, said, I'm a Bible-believing Christian and make no apologies about that. After passing the bill, Johnson said that the House Republicans had decided to stand up for what is right, what has common sense. Quote, we know from Scripture and from nature that men are men and women are women, and men cannot become a woman, Johnson said. It's sad that we have to say that, the speaker said. It's a matter of biology. And it's how we're made, and God made us this way. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the kind of stand that we've been praying for. That's the kind of leadership that we've been asking God to give us. That's the kind of hope that we have in the future with President Donald J. Trump and his inauguration and what I believe he'll do. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that there's the question on the part of the loose likes, lost liberals, the Marxist Socialist Communist Party called the Democrats on the left. Some of the questions asked Pam Bondi, do you plan to prosecute Liz Cheney, the head of the J6 committee? Other questions, will you use the Trump GOJ to prosecute Jack Smith, evil prosecutor, the prosecutor Donald Trump? Will the Trump DOJ, the FBI, and the CIA be used as the president's personal attorney? They've been asking these nominees. Ladies and gentlemen, in the very essence of the questions of the Democrats, the Marxists on the left, it's very clear that there's a fear of legal, constitutional, future prosecution of all who have broken the laws and attempt to destroy President Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, in this transition to power, with President Trump being sworn in as our 47th president, it demands that we pray, seek God's face, ask God to forgive our sins, heal our land as we enter this new era of what I call safety and protection through God's ordained person going into office. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at